Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, we had a guest that we were hoping to bring on here right about now, and that would be Chick Hernandez. You want to hit that button? Welcome back, Mr. Crenshaw. Is Mr. Absolutely. Hernandez ready for us?
Yeah.
Well, please, by all means, bring him up here. Again, from Washington, D.C., WUSA. Chick Hernandez.
What's up, man?
Good morning, sir. How are you? And thank you for being a part of this. We had our show go off the rails there for a little bit, but in a very, very, very good way. We haven't had, well, a former player, yes, Chris Draft. He came up.
Okay.
Do you remember him from his D.C. days up there playing with the other Washington-named team?
The Redskins, you mean?
Yes.
No, that was
me. Oh, listen, okay. Listen to him. You're the Redskins, you mean?
Do you remember when Chris Draft was up there?
I have no recollection of Chris Draft.
Well, you're going to have to go back and check the books here and check out.
I mean, Chris, how many years ago?
It's been a few.
Been 9, 10? When did he retire?
Like
yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that area.
The early 2000s.
Somewhere in that area.
Well, you know, I'm very concussed a lot of times, so it's okay.
Chick, what's going on, man?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what this year has been like, first of all, for your team. We're going to see everybody in prime time tonight under the lights, since it's the only game that's we're going on this evening. And Atlanta will be playing against Washington. But what are your observations from that Washington team from there?
Well, I mean, it's you know, people say how great it is and blah, 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 blah. I've covered this organization for nearly 30 years. And for folks who don't know, I came in after Sam in Augusta way, way, way back in the day.
Wow.
I think they had typewriters back then.
Yeah, they did.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Hey, yeah. Listen, you asked me to come on, you know you could be in trouble. This is the way I equate this franchise is there are adults in the building now. Simple as that. The prior owner, Dan Snyder, was a horse's end. I'll keep it clean for the morning crowd. And when you walked in the building, you'd get a look up and down, and the phrase would be, you know, can I help you? Now when you walk in the building, it's eye contact. It's, hey, Chick, man, what's going on? Hey, what do you need? It's that different, Sam. And I'm sorry, I didn't get your partner's name.
That's okay, Greg, but that's
Greg.
All right.
And Greg.
Cool. So adults are running the building, and it is a 180 flip from top to bottom, ownership, GM, head coach, all of it. And yes, 10 wins, awesome. All of it's great. There's just a different – the word is used so much now, culture, but there literally is a different culture in the building where everybody is paid with respect from players, employees, everything, which was not the case before. And we just knew if there was a shift in that way that football would have to get better. And it has. As I said last week, the football gods finally said, enough is enough with this franchise. We cannot keep pounding them. Let's help them. The Hail Mary, final drive last week, all of it. It's just a whole different thing.
Again, Chick Hernandez is joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Okay, just so you know, Chris played for the Redskins in 2010. Signed for a 1-year contract, but was released in August. Didn't play much there. So, but he played. He was here for a while in Atlanta, but also played for the Bears, 49ers.
I got you.
Panthers, one
I
of those guys.
You.
But
yeah, I don't. Look, I don't. I'm not disrespecting whatsoever. You know, when you get released in August, that means I'm not calling your name.
I understand. We understand. We just want to let you know that he was there. But
gotcha.
I do want to ask you about Dan Quinn, because we obviously had him here, and much like what you described, he did change a culture when he came up there. But it was twofold when he got to Washington because of past ownership and the transition that you guys were making. But how is he looked upon right now up in that region and what he's done for this team?
Well, I mean, he's looked upon? He's looked upon as a savior, which does not should not be the case, and he will tell you that's not the case. I get a chance through our partnership with my station to sit down with him every Monday, and we call it Tell the Truth Monday. And, you know, before we did this, you know, I said to him, you know, there are going to be weeks when, you know, it's not pleasant, and I'm going to have to ask you the uncomfortable question. He goes, bring it on. I don't, you know, it is what it is. We play like we play. We're not going to lie. Everybody saw it, whatever. So for him, you know, obviously his success in Atlanta and then getting let go and to take those years that he was not a head coach and really just kind of pay attention to what head coaches and other coaches in the league were doing and writing in a notebook and in a journal and kind of taking those notes in case a second opportunity came. And it came. And it has been a love affair because he is as honest as he can be. And it's just, you know, the message is being heard. And, you know, a lot of coaches, sometimes that message will wane. And who knows? This is year one. We don't know what it's going to be like in year two, three, four, five, whatever. But this message is getting through loud and clear to his players, the people as coaches. That's the other thing is that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's been a head coach. And he came in and wants to be a part of this. And it's just a really good marriage of folks. They've kind of hit the lottery with how this is happening. And obviously it's a quick turnaround, you know, but you also have number five in the backfield, and that's a difference maker.
That's where we're going to go to you next, folks. We're spending time this morning on the waitfor.com hotline with Chick Hernandez out of Washington, D.C., WUSA9. He is social. You can find him on IG at Chick Hernandez, all lowercase, at Chick Hernandez, all lowercase. He is all over everything as far as Washington Commanders and Washington sports in general. Like I said, we both worked down in Augusta. I'm really proud of what this man.
Yeah, we did. You didn't ride a bull like I did you?
No, I rode the horse. Yes. I didn't ride the bull. Yeah. I rode the horse.
This is what we want to hear. We want to hear Sam stories from you, Chick.
Well, but,
yeah. See, because so
well, he came after me. I had left.
No, but he's still got some stories.
I tell you what was. I think we're getting off topic. Here we go off the rails. But my first Masters, I called Sam and said, "Listen, I got Jack Nicklaus coming up, you know, for an interview. What's the key?" And he said, I forgot how you phrased it, but it's basically don't ask a dumb question because he will look at you and his steely eyes will burn a hole in your chest. So ask a thoughtful question, which I did about his. He had just started lifting weights and stuff like that at that advanced age, and Jack lit up. And we did an 8-minute interview right there off the 18th green. And it was the start of a friendship that I have with the Nicklaus family now. So that's the kind of guy that Sam is. But yes, I competed on cutting horses, but I'm the idiot who got on a bull and ended up bleeding, internal bleeding later. So you're talking to not that bright a guy.
Wow. See, this is what you're doing, man.
That's what you do. You set folks up.
No, I don't. I didn't set him up for that. I didn't tell him to do that. Back to what we were talking about. Number five. Okay. Talk about the idea of landing this guy, and what were your expectations when you got him, and now that he's here, and it's a perfect fit, and he's taken to it just like a duck to water.
Yeah, I went to USC's pro day and watched Caleb Williams, DC kid, and I went to LSU and watched Jaden Daniels. We went to UNC and watched Drake May, and it was apparent to me just watching the way that that Jaden was with his teammates, who his pro day was all about throwing, but he was there early to watch Malik Nabers and the rest of his guys going through this. I think it was like 22 other guys who were working out for the pro scouts, and I watched, because that's what coaches do too. They watch, what are you doing besides holding a football? Like, what are you doing? What's your demeanor and how do folks look at you? And it was apparent from there that he was a leader. And he's just been, you know, I can't even explain it. The throws that he makes and the fact that he is so smart. DQ, Dan Quinn said to me a couple weeks into the season, he goes, look, you know, rookie minicamp, This dude's in the bubble at 5:30 in the morning, and all of us coaches are like, okay, rookie's trying to impress the coaching staff. And they get like their first day off in 9 days, and DQ's at home, and his secretary calls and says, hey, your boy's in the bubble. And DQ's like, what is she talking about? And he's like, what are you talking about? number five is in the bubble. And he's like, but it's a day off. And she goes, Coach, I'm just telling you, number five's in the bubble working out with Luke McCaffrey. And he texted his coaching staff and said, we got one. We got one. Mm. So he's been that dude from the get-go. Very humble, understated. But don't be fooled. There's a huge, I don't know what you want to call it, an ego underneath, not in a bad way, but he knows that he has all the tools, but he uses his mind to get those tools in the right spot. And it's been fun to watch. I mean, just, so enjoyable. And it's not a me, with so many me athletes out there. You can't get him to go down that road. You can't.
Before we let you go, I'm curious, as we sit here and talk about the rookie quarterback in Washington, you as a sports fan, you as a reporter, what was discussed or what ran through your mind when you heard what the Falcons did during draft day and knowing that Kirk Cousins was here but yet went out and got Michael Penix Jr.?
I was here when I was here in 2012 when they drafted Robert Griffin III and then Kirk Cousins, and we all went, what just happened? So I feel bad for Kirk. Kirk's been on both sides of that. I think it was a smart move. I've known Kirk for a long time. I've gone to his camps in Michigan. He's a nice human, and obviously he can play the game. I mean, that's you can't argue with it. He makes throws sometimes where you just scratch your head and go, what was that? And he'll do that two or three times in a game, but not every game, obviously, because he put up huge numbers. I like the move. This is on a far lower level. I played high school and junior college quarterback left-handed. I'm nowhere near Michael's size, but when I see a lefty throwing, it's like it's just a different look. And I'm going to tell you right now, Washington historically hasn't done well with I'm using air quotes, backup quarterbacks. Historically, have not done well, especially with somebody that's got that kind of talent where they can fit a ball in. And without Marshawn Lattimore at cornerback for Washington, Benjamin St. Juste, that's a prime target. So I love what they've done, and I'm I think for sure he's the future. And even though he came in a little older and had banged up legs, you don't see that. He's a guy who loves football. I think you're in good shape for many years to come. I just don't want to see it tonight. This game, by the way, it's 8 hours away. It's actually longer than that. What y'all got me up this early in the morning for?
Well, we got you up, but you working getting ready to work on your pregame show, right? What time do you come on the
air? That is true. That is true. 11:30 on Channel 9 here. We'll be at it. They try to convince me to go out to the stadium and do my stuff from there. I'm like, you realize that even the workers aren't awake yet. So let me just do it from the studio. Then I'll come home, get a nice little nap, and then go out and do my live shots and cover the game.
There he is. He's
what's
ready
the weather
to go.
Up there like?
Yeah, what's the weather? What are we going to see tonight?
Not pretty. I can't. Well, put it this way: I wouldn't play golf in it, and that's the same thing because I'm a golf addict. So it is going to be rainy and cold. That's what it's going to be. It's going to start raining for good about 5:00.
Man, we'll watch for that tonight, Chick. Always great to hear from you, man. And
appreciate it, Dolph.
And keep on doing what you're doing. And thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Nice to meet you, man.
Thank you.
I'm waiting to hear more Sam stories.
Anytime. All right, man.